Welcome to Vet Zone, where passion for animals, science, and medicine lives. Smoking out the definition of typhus. Typhus, apoplexy, dysentery, dropsy, coryza. These are all medical terms of yesteryear, and with regard to common usage, many of these words have not survived. This is due in large part to a lack of specificity in their meaning. Apoplexy, for example, could refer to both strokes and heart attacks. Dropsy is generalized edema. An abdominal dropsy can result from right-sided heart failure, liver disease, or cancer. The need for specific, scientific nomenclature has led to the death of many of these words. Typhus was coined in medicine's modern Latin in the mid-17th century. In fact, there is speculation that William Shakespeare may have died from epidemic typhus. In 1616, it was just called the new fever, and it was characterized by an exceedingly high temperature, which led to mental confusion and disorientation. This delirium was described as resulting from the smoke from the fire of infection. It is in this Latin word to smoke that we obtain the name typhus. Today, the term typhus remains with us, and like its vocabulary siblings, imparts some confusion as to which disease we are talking about. Typhus could refer to over a half a dozen different bacterias, most of which belong to the group of diseases known as rickettsial infections. For those rickettsial infections, which bear the name of typhus, the CDC separates them into three main categories: typhus fevers, scrub typhus, and spotted fevers. Epidemic versus endemic typhus. The typhus fevers include both epidemic and endemic typhus. Epidemic typhus, as the name implies, pops up in large epidemics, often during natural disasters or wars, when the human body louse can spread uncontrolled. The causative agent is the bacterium Rickettsia prowazekii. Endemic typhus, or murine typhus, is, well, endemic. The rat flea serves as the vector for the causative agent Rickettsia typhi. Rats are survivors, and they can maintain populations endemically despite efforts to eradicate them. To complicate matters, these typhus fevers are different than typhoid fever. Typhoid fever is the only infection mentioned here that is not part of the rickettsial infections. It is also the one bacteria here that is not transmitted by arthropods. Salmonella enterica, serotype typhi, can only live inside humans and is shed in their feces. Thus, the mode of transmission is contaminated food or water. The second category of CDC rickettsial infections is scrub typhus. This disease adds to the already growing vocabulary confusion by being known by at least four other names: bush typhus, Sutsugamushi disease, mite-borne typhus, and tropical typhus. The CDC has a separate category for scrub typhus because the bacteria no longer resides within the genus of Rickettsia. Along with Salmonella, Orientia Sutsugamushi is the only other typhus that is not in this genus. The last category of CDC rickettsial infections are the spotted fevers. Only three of the spotted fevers are donned with the term typhus, and all include geography in their title: Queensland tick typhus, Thai tick typhus, and North Asian tick typhus or Siberian tick typhus. These regional diseases are transmitted by ticks that are typically associated with rodents. The surviving and arguably archaic term of typhus can refer to many different bacteria, most of which are rickettsial in nature and transmitted by arthropods. The exception to this bunch is the typhoid form of Salmonella. The term typhus is clinically descriptive for signs that are not pathognomonic. What this means is that the symptoms associated with the term typhus can be generated by a variety of pathogens, and this makes the term less useful and overall confusing. If the term typhus has seemed hazy to you in the past, know that this is natural and not smoke-filled delirium. Thank you for listening, and see you next time in the zone.